This evening, the passage I'll be preaching on is Zechariah chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. So I invite you to open your pew Bible, and you can find this passage on page 1008. You may notice that I'm taking a break on the series on the book of Haggai and switch to the book of Zechariah. Why this change? The reason is that I'm simply following the chronological order in which the messages of God came to the people of Israel. For 2 months after Haggai started his ministry, now in the 8th month of the 2nd year of Darius the king, God sent another prophet, Zechariah, who would bring the word of God to the same group of people. And surprisingly, in his first message, Zechariah didn't mention the temple at all, which was the focus of Haggai's ministry. Why this change of subject, this change of focus? That's what we will be looking at this evening. And now, please pay attention to the reading of God's word. In the 8th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, son of Iddo, saying, "The Lord was very angry with your fathers. Therefore, say to them, 'Thus declares the Lord of hosts, return to me,' said the Lord of hosts, 'and I will return to you,' said the Lord of hosts. 'Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets cried out, thus said the Lord of hosts, return from your evil ways and from your evil deeds. But they did not hear or pay attention to me,' declares the Lord. 'Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers?' So they repented and said, 'But the Lord of hosts purposed to deal with us for our ways and deeds. So has he dealt with us.'" This is the word of God. Let us pray. Oh God, help us to return to you. To return to you with our heart. Oh Lord, help me, for I'm a jar of clay, empty. Please fill this jar with your word, with your power. And Lord, also, make your word pierce the hearts of your people. So our hearts be as hard as rock, that you will strike them and make living water flow from it. Oh Lord, be with us tonight and use your word to achieve your purpose. For your name, for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Now under Haggai's ministry, the remnant community in Jerusalem was experiencing a revival. The returned exiles obeyed the voice of the Lord. They rededicate themselves to the work on the house of the Lord. And God assured them of his presence. God even promised them that the later glory of this house will be greater than the former. So the people were in high spirits. They were making good progress in rebuilding the temple. It seemed that they were back on the right track toward a bright future. However, their optimism suffered a heavy blow when they heard the message brought by Zechariah the prophet. "Return to me, and I will return to you," said the Lord of hosts. The people must be confused. What do you mean by calling us to return. Have we not returned already? Have we not returned from exile to the promised land? Have we not returned to the work on the house of the Lord? Don't you realize that we don't need to return now? But what we need is to carry on the good work we have started, to persevere in the direction we are taking now. But God is telling this people that they have not returned yet. Yes, they have returned with their feet. They have returned with their hands. But they have not returned with their hearts. And this is the real problem. For the temple is not God's focus. But does the Most High indeed live on earth, dwelling in the houses made by hands? But what God really cares about is the people. For it's the people of God who are the real temple of the Holy Spirit, the real church of Christ. And with the people, God takes a particular interest in their hearts. God searches their hearts, tests their hearts, to see if their hearts are right with Him, to see if their hearts are after Him or against Him, are close to Him or far from Him. And so, people of God, where is your heart? Where do you set your heart? And in what does your heart take delight? Yes, you are at this moment in the church, but is your heart with you while we worship the mighty God? Maybe you are already involved in many ministries of the church, but does your heart rejoice as you serve the living Lord? If we speak the truth about our hearts, then we must acknowledge that our hearts frequently wander from God because of our sinful nature. And our hearts are easily carried away from God by things in the world. So we must constantly strive to return to God. We must make it our ultimate goal to return to God with all our hearts. And based on our passage this evening, I will make three requests for you to return to God. My first request is this: return to God before you undertake the work of God. Here in the right order, you have to return to God first, and then you can start to serve God. Too often we reverse the order, and we rush into ministry before we have fully returned to God. And we imagine that the more work we do for God, the more tasks we perform at church, the more we can please God, not realizing that we are only storing up the wrath of God. And that's why Zechariah introduces his message by referring to God's anger in verse 2. The Lord was very angry with your fathers. In the Hebrew text, the first word and the last word of this verse are the same word, angry. So I would probably translate this verse like this: angry with the Lord with your fathers, very angry. It highlights the fierceness of God's anger against their fathers. But why was God so angry? Not because their fathers neglected religious duties, not because they denied the name of God, but because they did not serve the Lord their God with all their hearts. And so Isaiah the prophet speaks of them in these words: "These people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me." As a result, God called their offerings and incense an abomination, and God considered their Sabbath and appointed feasts a burden. And eventually we see that God left his temple to be burned to the ground. For it is better in God's sight for the temple to lay in ruins than for it to be filled with half-hearted worshipers. And so by referring to God's anger at their forefathers, Zechariah demonstrates to this remnant generation that rebuilding the temple will not solve the problem. Rebuilding the temple will not deter God's anger from them, unless they return to God with all their hearts. So, people of God, let us return to God first before we undertake the work of God. But you may say, if I didn't do any good work, what can I offer to God? And how can I appease his fierce anger against me? But Jesus has already offered himself as a pleasing and complete sacrifice to God. Jesus has already quenched the wrath of God on the cross. So all you need to do is to return to God with all your heart, with a sincere faith in the work, in the person of Jesus Christ. And then God will indeed return to you. He will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. He will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, this is my second request to you. Return to God when you hear the word of God. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, but return to God with all your heart. Verse 4 is a brief memoir of the fathers of the remnant generation. But this memoir has an unpleasant heading: "Do not be like your fathers." To their fathers, God persistently sent his prophets, who powerfully preached the word of God, who told them, who entreated them again and again, return from your evil ways and from your evil deeds. But they did not hear or pay attention. They made their hearts diamond hard, lest they should hear the word of the Lord. And they walked in their own counsels and the stubbornness of their evil hearts, and they moved further away from God. Are you not like them? My dear friend, when you hear the word of God preached again and again in your ears, and yet your heart is not moved, and you are still unwilling to return to God, if you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ, it is now your time to return to God. Let me share with you how the great preacher Charles Spurgeon was saved. On a January Sunday, and the weather was very similar to the weather today, and in order to take shelter from a snowstorm, Spurgeon ducked into a primitive Methodist church. A substitute lay preacher was preaching that day, and he was preaching on Isaiah 45, verses 22. And since he had not much to say, he was compelled to repeat his text again and again, And so he kept on saying, look unto Jesus, and you will be saved. Look unto Jesus, and you will be saved. And then he pointed at Spurgeon. And he said, that young man there looks miserable. And he started to shout to Spurgeon in a frantic fashion, look, young man, look. And at that moment, the eyes of Spurgeon's heart were opened, and he saw what a Savior Jesus was. And this is how he believed in Jesus. So, my dear friend, I pray that you might also come to faith this evening through the preaching of an unskilled lay preacher. For I don't have much to say, but to repeat again and again, return to God, return to God. And if you feel you are miserable and wretched, if you know that you are trapped in your sinful lifestyles and evil ways, return to God. Return to God with a broken and humbled heart, and God will return to you. He will run toward you. He will embrace you. He will kiss you, and he will clothe you with the best robes. So return to God when you hear the word of God. Now I have this final request to you. Return to God after you suffer the wrath of God. In verse 5, the prophet raises two questions. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? The answers are obvious. The fathers and the prophets are all dead. They are all gone. But this is not all, for we are told in verse 6, before the fathers died, they repented. The Hebrew text actually reads, they returned. Where did they return? They didn't return to Jerusalem. They died in exile, but they did return to God. But why did they return at last? Because the words and the statutes of God overtook them as they were trying to run away from God. The curses, the threats that were written in the book of the law of the Lord pursued them and came upon them. So they were caught by God, and they suffered the wrath of God. Then they were humbled, and then they returned to God. And though they are dead, they still speak. As the Lord of hosts purposed to deal with us for our ways and our deeds, so has he dealt with us. And the fathers who rejected the prophets and their messengers now bear witness with these prophets that the word of God is true indeed and will stand forever. This pandemic that has troubled us for so long seems ready to pass away. Maybe by summertime, when majority of us gets vaccinated, we will be able to completely get rid of this pandemic. But by that time, are you going to live as if nothing has happened after you have suffered and survived this pandemic, which is a clear sign of the wrath of God? Are you going to keep running away from God until you are overtaken again by a greater calamity poured out of the bowls of the wrath of God? I hope not. Return to God. Return to God now Return to God after you suffer the wrath of God. And God will return to you. God will no longer be angry with you, but he will comfort you. He will restore you. Hear what the prophet Hosea says. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him. So, come, let us return to God. Let us return to God with all our hearts, and he will surely return to us with his steadfast love. May the Lord direct our hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ forever. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, we are natural wanderers and backsliders. We can so easily run away from you. O Lord, how miserable we are. But Lord, we pray that you will anchor our hearts to you so that we may never drift away. For we want to stick with you all the time. But if we do drift, if we do run away from you, even if we run to the uttermost end of the sea, even when we reach the brink of hell, we pray that you will give us the desire, the confidence, the strength to return to you. And as we return, we ask you to receive us. As you received tax collectors and the prostitutes, as you received the thief and the prodigal son. O Lord, have mercy on us. And as we return, please return to us as well. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.